isang babae ang nag-travel abroad na hindi kasama ang kanyang mister at siya'y nakarating ng Paris. At doon nakita niya yung napakagandang bracelet na noon pa niya hinahanap sa buong buhay niya. Kaya kaagad-agad ng messenger siya sa kanyang mister at ito ang sabi niya, "I found this beautiful bracelet, one I've been looking for all my life. It only costs $7,500. Do you think I can buy it?" Yung mister naman ay sumagot agad doon sa kanyang messenger at medyo firm ang sagot niya. Ang sabi niya, "No, price too high." Kaya lang sa kanyang pagte-text, nakakalimutan niya yung comma. Kaya't ang lumabas doon sa messenger ay, "No price too high." At sa sobrang tuwa ng misis, binili yung bracelet. Nung nawala yung comma, yung mister muntik nang makoma. No price too high. Mga kapatid, will there be a price too high for God to pay for your ransom? I don't think there is no price too high for God to pay for your ransom. He sent His Son to die for our sins. No, He died on the cross to pay for our ransom. Now, my second question is this. Will there be a price too high for you to give for God? That depends. Doon na tayo nagkakaproblema. Kaya nga, alam mo, si Jesus, He preached more on money than faith and prayer. Nag-preach si Jesus about prayer at mga 500 verses ang ginamit doon. Sa faith, 500 verses din. Alam mo ba kung ilang verses ang ginamit ng Panginoong Jesus in His sermon about money and finances and resources? More than 2,000 verses. He spoke more about money and finances, more than, you know, even the topic on heaven and the hell. Bakit? Kasi there's one thing that will really compete with our affection towards God. It's none other than money. Kaya ang tanong ko sa iyo ngayon, kapatid, Diyos ba o kayamanan? At para lalo natin itong mahimay, buksan natin ang ating mga Biblia sa Matthew chapter 19, verse 16 to 22 para makita natin ang isang storya sa buhay ng Panginoong Jesus at sa mga taong gustong sumunod sa Kanya. Okay, let's read this. Matthew 19, 16 to 22. "And behold, a man came up to Him saying, 'Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?' And He said to him, 'Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you would enter life, keep the commandments.' He said to him, 'Which ones?' And Jesus said, 'You shall not murder, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not steal, you shall not bear false witness, honor your father and mother, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself.' In verse 20, the young man said to him, 'All these things I have kept. What do I still lack?' Jesus said to him, 'If you would be perfect, go, sell what you possess and give to the poor. You will have treasure in heaven. Come, follow me.' When the young man heard this, he went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions." Pagpalain ng Panginoon ng pagkakabasa ng kanyang salita, tayo po ay manalangin. Aming Diyos, amang makapangyarihan sa lahat, punuin mo kami ng iyong Santong Espiritu upang aming maunawaan ang sinasabi ng iyong salita. At ma-check ang aming mga puso kung anong tunay naming itinuturing na yaman. Nawa, O Diyos, pagkatapos po ng aming pagsambang ito, magkaroon kami ng resolusyong Ikaw ang aming maging tanging yaman. Sa pangalan po ng aming Panginoong Jesus, Amen. Now, this story is not a parable. This is a true story. No, in fact, this is a surprising story. Kasi kung titingnan mo doon sa verse 16, kay Matthew, ang sabi dito, "And behold, a man came up to him saying, 'Teacher.'" No? Doon, actually, ito pong storya na to ay isinulat din ni Lucas at saka ni Mark. Pero si Matthew lang ang nagsabi na, "Behold," or "Tingnan ninyo, no, look at this sight." This is extraordinary. Bakit extraordinary ito? Kasi po, if there, kung sino man tong lalaki na to na lumapit sa Panginoong Jesus, ay hindi po pangkaraniwang lalaki. Siya po yung tinatawag na the rich young ruler. The rich young ruler. No? Para kay Matthew, sabi niya, a man came up to him. Pero dito kay Luke, sa chapter 18, verse 18, ang sabi ni Luke, niliwanag niya na hindi ito pangkaraniwang tao, he is a ruler. And the ruler asked him, good teacher. No? And kay Mark naman, ipinakita dito that this guy is not just a man and a ruler, no? He is also wealthy. Kay Matthew din natin makikita na ang lalaking ito ay bata pa. No, kaya nga napagsama-sama itong mga passages na ito, kaya nabigyan siya ng pagkakakilanlan, hindi po siya binigyan ng pangalan, pero ang pagkakakilanlan sa kanya is the rich young ruler. Well, bago natin husgahan ng lalaking ito, no, tingnan po na naman na, muna natin ang mga bagay na magandang ginawa niya. No, he is rich, he is young, he's a ruler. At ang sabi po dito kay Mark, no? Medyo animated ang pagkakasulat nitong si Mark, ang sabi dito sa verse 17, and as Jesus was setting out on his journey, a man ran up and knelt before him and asked him, good teacher. Okay. So, para po kay Mark, kita natin dito how eager this rich young ruler was in reaching out to Jesus. Tama po ang ginawa niya sapagkat siya'y lumapit sa Panginoon. At hindi lang siya basta lumapit, tumatakbo po siyang palapit sa Panginoong Jesus. Alam niyo naman po, sa mga people in the East, no? Ang mga people of stature, they don't normally run. Because that is, alam mo, a disgrace, an embarrassment for an old man, a person in position, no, a ruler, a religious leader, to run. Hindi po normal yun. So itong lalaki na to, kita natin yung eagerness niya to ask Jesus about something. Something really that is bothering him or something really that he wants to find out in his life. At hindi lang siya tumakbo, ha? Siya ay lumuhod. Yun ang sabi ni Mark dito. So it was done in public. Surprisingly, it was done in public. And respectfully, this rich young ruler asked Jesus about spiritual things. Kaya nga sabi ni Matthew, behold! Sabi niya, parang gusto lang sabihin ni Matthew, tingnan ninyo yung sight na to, kakaiba ito. No, hindi pa natin tayo nakakita ng ganitong scenario, no? Na isang rich, isang young, at isang ruler ay lumapit sa isang rejected na teacher. Kagaya ni Jesus. Kasi po, itong eksena na to ay malapit na po na tumungo si Jesus sa Jerusalem para po siya doon ipako sa krus. So maraming ginawang tama itong rich young ruler na ito. No? Siya po ay bagamat mayaman, siya po ay bagamat bata pa, at siya po ay bagamat ruler pa, no, ay he would be humble enough, no, to ask Jesus about something that is really, really, really bothering him. So that's the first surprise that we see here. Another surprise that we see here is the question that he asked. Ang tanong po niya is, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What must I do? Kapatid, sakali kaya na yung pinakamayamang tao sa lugar ninyo ay lumapit sa'yo at tanungin ka ng ganyang tanong, anong isasagot mo? Paano ako magkakaroon ng buhay na walang hanggan? Anong dapat kong gawin? Siguro, bilis nating sabihin na, madali lang yan. Tanggapin mo si Jesus sa iyong puso bilang tagapagligtas. No? At ikaw ay mapupunta sa langit. Di ba napakadaling sagutin? At tayo naman ay eager na makakita ng isang mayamang tao na interesado, di ba, sa buhay na walang hanggan. Pero kung mapapansin ninyo, hindi sinagot ni Jesus na hey, I am the Savior. Accept me. Receive me. Or you pray this kind of prayer and you will get to heaven. Hindi po ganun kasimple. Bakit? Sapagkat ang tanong po na ito ay isang smokescreen lang, no? Isang lambong, no? Tungkol sa totoong nilalaman ng puso nitong lalaking ito. And we're about to find out what's inside the heart of the rich young ruler. You know, brothers and sisters, the way you frame your question reveals something about you. Ang lundo po ng tanong niya is eternal life. Yun ang hinahanap niya eh. Eternal life. Sino bang hindi gusto magkaroon ng eternal life? And for the Jews, eternal life is not just the quantity of life o yung napakaraming zero after one. Hindi yung napakaraming araw, napakaraming taon na igugugulit mo sa eternity. Hindi po yun. Ang eternal life para po sa mga Hudyo is not the quantity of life, but the kind of life. The quality of life. And this guy is really up to something that will redefine his existence. Parang sa tingin niya, he had everything, no, that money could buy. He had the fame, he had the position. At ang tingin ng mga tao sa kanya, he is a religious ruler. So parang wala nang kulang, di ba? But deep inside, there is doubt. There is emptiness. Or there is even fear. Na even if you have all these things, parang there is something that I lack. And he couldn't even point his finger to that, na ano ba yung kulang? Hindi ko alam kung ano yung kulang because he's blinded. And what is blinding him? No? So eternal life ang hinahanap niya at ang tanong niya is, what must I do? Ano ba ang dapat kong gawin, ano, para ako'y makarating doon sa langit? So ang emphasis niya is the things that he must do. So it's more a performance. Kasi ito pong rich young ruler na ito, he was able to amass wealth in the quickest possible time, no? Yumaman po siya, kagaya ng marami, nangangarap na, by age 30, milyonaryo na ako. Ito po, batang-bata pa, mayaman eh. At ang tawag pa nga niya sa Panginoong Jesus ay good teacher. No? Mabuting guro, ano po ba ang dapat kong gawin? No? Para, ano bang mabuting bagay na dapat kong gawin para ako makarating sa langit? So sa tingin niya, ang pagpunta sa langit is about performing. Doing something, no? Pero alam po nating lahat na going to heaven is not about doing something or obeying a list of do's and don'ts or following a set of rules. It's not that. No, going to heaven is believing in the Lord Jesus Christ and appropriating what He did on the cross for our, you know, our salvation. Kaya lang po, itong lalaki na to, nakatingin siya kung anong dapat niyang gawin. Pero nga pong isang lalaki na lumapit sa isang pastor at ang sabi niya, Pastor, ano po bang dapat kong gawin para ako'y makarating sa langit? Sabi ng pastor, nako, pasensya na, huli ka na. Ay, bakit po, pastor? Bakit ako mahuhuli? Eh, sabi niya, may gumawa na eh. No? Ang gumawa nun ay walang iba kundi si Jesus. Makikita natin dito yung orientation nitong lalaki na ito when he used the word good. When he used the word good. Because he used it loosely. No, ang pagkakagamit niya dito ay parang, alam mo kasi, ang tingin niya lang niya kay Jesus, teacher. Eh. Diba? Pero nilagyan niya ng adjective the good. Tapos parang common lang din yung, ano yung good thing na dapat kong gawin? No, para bang sinasabi niya na, alam mo, good teacher, ano, marami na akong nagawa. No? Marami na akong nagawa at ano pa bang kulang kong dapat kong gawin at kaya ko namang gawin. So short of saying that I can do it. No, ako nga naging mayaman sa mabilis na paraan. Ako nga naging religious leader, accelerated sa mabilis na paraan. So I think I can do this. I think I can do this. Doon siya nakamali. Sapagkat alam po natin, mga kapatid, even in the Old Testament and even in the New Testament, laging sinasabi, Romans chapter 3, verse 23, there is no one good. Wala po eh. Walang nakaabot sa kaluwalhatian ng Diyos nobody is good except God. In fact, yun ang sinabi ng Panginoong Jesus sa kanya. Bagamat ang tingin ng lalaki na to sa kanyang sarili ay candidate siya or maaaring awardee siya ng 10 outstanding young men, but still, he could not make it by himself. Because only Jesus is good. Siya lang yung nabuhay ng perfectly. So, lumalabas po dito mga kapatid, itong lalaki na to, ang gusto niyang pagtiwalaan yung kanyang sarili. Kaya nga nung tinanong siya ng Panginoon na sabi niya, sabi ng Lord sa kanya, ang response sa kanya ng Lord, alam mo naman yung mga commandments, di ba? Ang sabi ng lalaki, which ones, Lord? Come on, dare me. Parang ganyan, dare me. Sabi mo sa akin, anong commandments? At kung hindi ko pa nagawa, di sasabihin ko sa'yo. At sinabi ng Lord, huwag kang papatay, huwag kang mangangalo niya, huwag kang magnanakaw, huwag kang magsisinungaling, huwag igalang mong ang iyong ama at ina. Alam mo, sabi ng lalaki na ito, Lord, mula pa bata ako, nagagawa ko na yan. No? Sinabi ng Lord itong second half of the Ten Commandments kasi these are the external expressions of the commandments. Pero hindi sinabi ng Lord yung tungkol sa first half, which has something to do with your devotion to God, with your exclusive love and allegiance to God. No idols, no rivals, no? Walang ibang kapalit at kahalili ang Panginoon. Bakit? The first half of the commandments, the Ten Commandments, is the heart of the commandment. At doon gustong tingnan ng Panginoon itong lalaki na ito. So kita natin, ano, mga kapatid, na minsan it appears na parang kagaya nito, na mangha mga tao. Kasi, wow, isang lalaki, a man of stature, you know, a young executive, a religious leader, very wealthy, lumapit sa Panginoon. Parang ano pa bang kailangan niya, di ba? Parang nasa kanya na ang lahat. Pero yung pala, sa loob-loob, merong itinatago. At madalas na tayo po'y na nalilin lang. Ano? Sabi ni Pastor Paul Jaya Chandran ng Life Church sa Australia, kung saan itong nakaraan ay umaten tayo ng IDMC Australia 2020, there are two kinds of persons daw, no, dito sa mga churches. No? At ang dalawang klase ng tao, yung carnal Christian at saka yung isa ay yung consecrated Christian. Diba? Normally, sasabihin mo, hatiin mo ang church sa dalawa. Alam mo kung anong klase ng mga tao yan. Una, yung carnal, yung nabubuhay sa kasalanan, yung na, alam mo, immoral. Pero matin sa church, ano? Nakakalungkot. May mga carnal Christians inside the church. Pero meron naman sa kabilang side, yung mga consecrated Christians, yung mga devoted sa Lord, yung mga tao na talagang surrendered ang kanilang buhay sa Panginoon at sumusunod sa Panginoon. So kung sabihin mo, merong hot, merong cold, no? Pero sabi ni Pastor Paul, sa totoo lang, meron ding mga tao na seemingly good. But deep inside, there is corruption. Ang tawag niya dito, hindi carnal Christian, hindi committed Christian, hindi consecrated Christian, but the third one, committed Christian. Ano yung committed Christian? Ay, yung committed Christian, yung commit ng commit, no? Commit, yung gagawin ko yan, gagawin ko ito. No, kaya niyang mangako ng maraming bagay. Magpe-pledge ako ng ganito, magkukumit ako ng ganito. Pero, hindi surrendered ang kanyang buhay. At madalas, double ang kanyang loyalty. No, hati ang kanyang puso. Yun ang malungkot. Kasi itong lalaking ito, externally, when you look at him, he's really good. When you look at his credentials, halos yung Ten Commandments sa kumpleto niya. When you look at his giving, very generous. When you look at his track record, ano, sa business, talagang siya yumaman ng walang corruption. Siya yumaman ng hindi nanloloko ng tao, hindi nagsisinungaling. May mga taong yumayaman dahil pumapatay. May mga taong yumayaman dahil sa, because of, you know, sex trade. Pero itong lalaki na ito, yumaman siya ng walang extortion, walang corruption, walang lying, walang cheating. Talagang malinis na malinis itong lalaki na ito. Akala lang natin. But deep inside, no, he is not a consecrated person in the eyes of God. He's just a committed person. No? Bakit? Sa puso niya, may dalawang pag-ibig. Ulitin ko, ha? There are two loves in his heart. Gusto niyang lumapit sa Diyos, pero gusto rin niya ng kayamanan. Gusto niya makip yung kayamanan niya, and at the same time, gusto niyang i-add si God o yung mga things of God sa kanyang buhay. Sabi nga ni Pastor Paul, if you treasure God, you won't be treasuring money. And if you treasure money, you won't be treasuring God. You cannot serve both God and money. You have to make up your mind. Hindi kasi pwedeng ang treasure mo, yung pinagpapahalagahan mo, ay kayamanan. Kasi the more that your heart is geared towards riches, the more your heart is drawn away from God. But if you bring your heart closer to God, no, then yung kayamanan walang masyadong appeal sa'yo. I'm not saying na masabang yumaman. I'm not saying na ang mga mayayaman ay galit ang Panginoon sa mayayaman at mahal ng Diyos sa mga mahihirap. No, I'm not saying din na masamang mangarap na yumaman. Kaya lang, ang sabi ni Apostle Paul, mag-ingat kayo, no, sa pagnanais na yumaman. Kasi marami nang nabitag, marami nang nahulog sa patibong ng kayamanan. Bakit? Sapagkat ang pag-ibig sa salapi, ang ugat ng lahat ng kasalanan. It's not money, but it's the love of money, our attitude towards money. And that is what will be revealed to us later, no? Kapag tinignan po natin yung third point natin ng pangatlong surprise, no? Makikita natin ano talaga ang laman ng puso nitong lalaki na ito. So, sa mga mananampalataya, tingnan natin ang ating mga sarili. Are we a carnal Christian? Are we a consecrated Christian? Or are we a committed Christian? No? Looks good on the outside. Pero on the inside, you know, the pleasures of the world, the delight of life, position, power, stature, being able to travel, no, and experiencing all the pleasures in the world, kung yan ay laman pa rin ang ating puso, then that thing cannot coexist with God. Hindi po pwedeng ang puso natin ay mayroong dalawang pag-ibig. Na gusto natin ng lahat ng kayamanan at gusto din natin ang Diyos. And let's take a look at the third surprise. Ang pangatlong surprise po dito, surprising really, is, you know, the prescription that Jesus gave this rich young ruler. Kasi nung nakita po ni Jesus na parang nagawa niya yung last half of the Ten Commandments, sabi sa verse 22 ng Luke chapter 18, when Jesus heard this, he said to him, "One thing you still lack. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." Wow. That's really surprising. That's something totally out of the blue. No? Bakit? Kasi po, in the Old Testament, alam mo na you're blessed when you're rich. You have territories, you have fertility, you have prosperity, just like Abraham, just like David, just like, you know, Solomon. Pag pinagpala ka, talagang yayaman ka, you know? At ang pangako ng Panginoon sa mga sumusunod sa kanya, there will be prosperity, no, and abundance, no? Pero pagdating sa New Testament, yung promise of prosperity is not really emphasized anymore. In fact, sa Beatitudes, ang sinabi pa nga, eh, blessed are the poor in spirit. So walang masyadong promise that you will be prosperous when you follow the Lord. Contrary to that, every time nakakausapin ng Panginoon yung mga followers niya, sasabihin niya, you know, foxes have holes and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Gusto mo bang sumama sa akin? Magmi-mission trip tayo, wala tayong hotel. Ah, hindi natin lang kung saan tayo kukuha ng pamasahe. At pagdating natin doon, hindi natin lang kung sinong sasalubong sa atin. Ah, wala tayong allowance. Sasama ka pa ba? But that's the orientation of Jesus. It's a radical followership. No? Hindi yung you follow me and you will travel the world, or you follow me and you will be prosperous and healthy and whatever you want, you will have. That is prosperity gospel, and we don't preach that. Okay? So, kaya pagdating nung Old Testament, we know that the promise is really prosperity and abundance. Kaya pagdating dito, sinabi ni Jesus ito, parang it's a shocking command to sell everything. No, kasi ang tanong siguro ng mga tao, lalo ng mga disciples nung panahon na yon, why would obedience to Christ lead to this man's losing his possessions? Bakit pagsusunod ka kay Jesus, mawawala ang lahat ng pag-aari mo? Yun kasi ang minsan maling basa natin sa salita ng Diyos. Nung sinabi ng Panginoon na you sell everything you have and give to the poor so that you will have treasures in heaven and come follow me, no, merong dalawang extreme ng interpretation ito. Ang unang extreme ito, sabi ni David Platt, the first extreme is he always commands his followers to sell everything they have and give it to the poor. Yun ang isang extreme interpretation na lahat ng followers dapat ibenta nyo lahat ng inyong property. Medyo nakakatakot yun, ano? Medyo nakakakaba. No, sino pa kaya ang susunod? Kapag ka lahat ng susunod sa Panginoong Jesus, eh kailangan i-give up ang lahat. That's one extreme. The other extreme, on the other side of the pendulum, is this. He never calls his followers to abandon all their possessions to follow him. Sa kabila naman, hindi naman daw sinasabi ng Lord sa lahat ng kanyang disciples na ibenta ang lahat. Well, hindi rin totoo yun. Kasi may mga tagasunod ng Panginoon na talaga na-convict sila na ibinenta nila ang lahat. Iniwanan ng lahat just to follow the Lord. Lalo, nung first century, nung New Testament church, di ba? That most of the believers, they sold their property and then they turned over the proceeds to the apostles. At through the centuries, there are people that have been convicted by God to sell everything and then and follow him. So, hindi po never, hindi always, hindi rin naman never. Now, doon daw sa mga nakahinga ng maluwag, nung marinig na hindi naman pala sa lahat ng disciple inuutos na ibenta ang lahat ng property, eh mag-iingat po kayo, dahil kung nakahinga daw kayo ng maluwag, yun daw utos na yun ay para talaga sa iyo. Yan ang sinabi ng isang interpreter na si Guthrie, ang sabi niya, that Jesus did not command all his followers to sell all their possessions gives comfort only to the kind of people to whom he would issue that command. Ibig sabihin, kung naibsan ka at nasabi mo, what a relief, hindi naman pala lahat inuutusan, ang mensahe daw na yon ay para sa'yo. Bakit? Eh may hold pa rin ang kayamanan sa'yo. May panghihinayang ka pa rin. Meron ka pa rin paghahari muna na iniisip mo na meron pa rin para sa'yo. Pero what if kausapin ka talaga ng Lord na i-give up ang lahat? Would you follow Him? That's a good question to ask, and it's for only for you to answer. Okay. Kung iisipin naman natin, hindi ba naman napakalupit naman ng Lord dito sa lalaki na ito? Parang pinagtripan niya, no? Para bang, alam mo yun, in on the spot, pinagtripan, at galit ba siya dito sa lalaki na to? Bakit niya sasabihin na ibenta mo lahat ng property mo? Take a look at Mark chapter 10 and verse 21. And Mark was careful, no, to write the attitude of Jesus towards this guy. Verse 21, Mark chapter 10, sabi dito, and Jesus, looking at him, loved him. Wow, yun naman pala eh. Jesus never hated this guy. He loved him and said to him, you lack one thing, go and sell that you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. So ito palang utos ng Lord dito sa rich young ruler, it is not born out of hatred, it is not born out of disgust to this rich young ruler. Actually, it was born out of love. Mahal niya itong lalaki na ito. No? Mahal niya yung mayaman. And he loved this rich young ruler too much that he was able to tell him what's the key or what's the problem in his heart. Ganun kamahal ng ni Jesus ang lalaki na ito para kumprontahin siya na may problema sa puso mo. At ang problema sa puso mo ay may nagahari sa puso mo at hindi ang Diyos yun. Kayamanan. Kayamanan. Kaya nga, ang sabi sa verse 23, but when he heard these things, he became very sad. Sabi ni Mark, very sorrowful. Pero sabi ni Luke, he was very sad. Why? For he was extremely rich. Sobrang yaman ng lalaking ito na hindi niya kayang i-give up ang kanyang kayamanan for God. Nakakalungkot, ano? Isipin mong taharap mo na ang tagapagligtas, hindi ka pa nakarating sa langit. Alam mo, nakaluhod ka na sa pintuan ng langit, hindi ka pa nakarating doon. Dahil sa ano? Dahil sa puso mo, nandun ang pagmamahal sa kayamanan. Actually, tinest lang talaga itong lalaki na ito para lang lumutang anong laman ng kanyang puso. At doon nga, ang kanyang puso ay nandun sa kayamanan. Diba ang sabi nga ay, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Kung saan nandun ang kayamanan mo, susunod ang puso mo. No? Kaya kapag ang kayamanan mo nasa bangko, at nag-collapse at nagsarado yung bangko, talagang malalaglag ang puso mo. Kapag ang pera mo ay nasa isang bagong-bagong sasakyan, at may nakasagi dito at nagasgasan, ay talagang masamang-masama ang loob mo. Bakit? Nandun ang puso mo dahil nandun ang pera mo. Eh. Kaya nga kung meron daw isang bagay na parang wala ang puso mo doon, o kung sino man wala ang puso mo doon, ilagay mo daw doon ang kayamanan mo. Ilagay mo doon ang kayamanan mo. At alam mo mangyayari, susunod yung puso mo. Ang malungkot dito, ang kayamanan ng lalaking ito, inilagay niya sa kanyang sarili. No? Kaya ang puso niya, pang sarili lang din. Kaya wala nang puwang ang Diyos. Hindi na makapasok ang Diyos sa kanyang puso. Bakit? Sapagkat pinag-aharian ng kayamanan ang kanyang puso. At ang lalaking ito ay umalis. Ah. What's shocking again and surprising is that Jesus did not even negotiate with him. Pwede naman niyang sabihin na, teka muna, rich young ruler, mag-usap muna tayo. Eh, pwede naman nating i-negotiate ito. No? Pwede namang 50-50. O kaya pwede nang magsimula sa tithes. O kaya pwede namang installment. Di ba? Pwedeng ganun. But Jesus did not negotiate. He never negotiated with this guy. No, kung gusto niyang umalis, umalis ka. You know, it's your decision. In fact, it's your loss. If you don't want to follow me, it's your loss. No, so no bargaining. At wala ring offer of the gospel na I'm the Savior, you receive me. O kaya, pwede mo namang ipid-pray, no? Can you pray the sinner's prayer? No? At siguro, eventually, yung puso mo susunod na rin. Jesus did not bother, no? Giving him a prayer or even negotiating or bargaining with him. It's no point. Why? Because settled ang puso niya. Ang puso niya, nakafocus na talaga at talagang slave na ng kayamanan. That's why he missed heaven. Very close na. Konting-konti na lang. No? Makakapasok na sana siya sa langit. Pero na-miss niya yon. Bakit? Nakakapit ang puso niya, ang kamay niya, ang buo niyang pagkatao, ang mata niya, ang lahat-lahat sa kanya, no, nakakapit doon sa kayamanan. At hindi niya mabitawan ito. Pero sa totoo lang, sa sobrang pagmamahal ng Panginoon sa lalaking ito, sabi niya, sa totoo lang, sabi niya ganun, when you give everything, no, sell everything and give to the poor, you will accumulate treasures in heaven. Itong tinuturo ng Lord sa lalaki na ito, actually, the Lord doesn't want him to miss out. Parang sinasabi sa kanya, alamin mo yung true wealth, yung true riches. Kasi ang investment mo nasa insurance, ang investment mo nasa business, ang pera mo kung saan-saan nakakalat, pero wala sa langit. Tinuturuan ng Panginoon ang lalaking ito to be rich and wealthy in heaven. Kaya nga sabi ni Mark, the Lord loved this guy. Kasi tama mga ginagawa niya eh, pero mali ang puso. Kapatid, hindi pwedeng may kakompetensya ang Diyos sa puso natin. No. Mali nga ang tanong niya eh, what must I do to inherit eternal life? It's all about doing. And it's all about the what. Going to heaven is not about the what, it's about the who. Sino? Sinong kakapitan ko para ako makarating sa langit? No? Unfortunately, maraming mga tao na gusto lang nila malaman ano ba ang daan patungo sa langit. No, just give me the ticket so that I can get to heaven. And then when they get there, they'll throw away the ticket. You know, Jesus is the ticket. Si Jesus ang ticket para makapasok ka sa langit. Kaya lang may mga tao, ayaw nila kay Jesus. Gusto lang nilang kunin si Jesus para makarating sa langit. Pagdating sa langit, parang ayaw nila kay Jesus. How would you explain that? No? How can you enjoy heaven without Jesus? How can heaven be heaven without God? But this guy is so focused on riches. He's so focused on eternity. He's so focused on salvation without the Savior. He's so focused on eternal life without God. Why? Because he cannot relinquish. He can never surrender the riches that he has. Nakalimutan niya na siya'y katiwala lang. He's just a steward of God's riches. Hindi po tayong magmamay-ari ng lahat ng ito. Nakalimutan niya na ang Diyos ang may-ari ng lahat. At nung hinihingi ng Panginoon sa totoo lang, hinihingi ng Diyos yung Kanya. Hindi niya hinihingi yung pag-aari nitong rich young ruler. Sapagkat Kanya din yun eh. Pinagkatiwalaan lang siya. Mga kapatid, lahat tayo ay katiwala lang. Kahit ikaw ay sumusweldo ng sabihin mong 500 per day, no? At yung isa naman ay sumusweldo ng 50,000 per day. Pareho kayong steward. Pagyamanin mo, pangasiwaan mo yung 500 per day mo, yun namang ang kinikita ay 50,000 per day, abay, he will be held accountable by God as well. So ang stewardship hindi lang para po sa mga mayayaman. Kahit ang sweldo mo ay maliit, tinitingnan pa rin ng Panginoon, how are you using it? No? Are you using it for His glory? Is God really the God of your life? Because if He is, when He asks you for something, it's so easy for you to give it back to Him. Because He owns it in the first place. We don't own anything here on earth. Eh, mga kapatid, tingnan po natin, napakahalaga po na makita natin yung huling challenge ng Lord sa lalaki na ito. Di ba sabi niya, go, sell everything that you have, give to the poor so that you can have treasure in heaven and come back and follow me. You know, the invitation of the Lord is a personal relationship. You know, life and the spiritual life is not just about going to heaven. It's about bringing heaven to earth through our lives, through our consecration and our surrender to the Lord. Jesus never asked people to commit themselves to Him. Never. Wala kang makikita sa Bible na sinabi niya na, you commit your life to me. No, wala kang makikita. Ang lagi niyang sinasabi, surrender your life to me. And alam mo, our God is a good God, He's a generous God. Alam mo, sabi niya, di ba? When you surrender everything, you will have more. In fact, doon sa mga susunod na verses, tinanong niya ni Peter, Lord, we have left everything. What's in it for us? ang sabi ng Lord, those who left houses, those who left brothers, sisters, no family, mother and father, lands, will get 100-fold now and in the age to come. Our Father in heaven is a generous one. He loves you. He wants the best for you. Kaya lang, chinecheck niya ang iyong devotion. Chinecheck niya kung anong laman ng iyong puso. Your allegiance. Is He the number one in your life? I'm not talking about Him being number one of the list. Is He the first of everything? Seek first the kingdom of God. He is not the first in a series of choices. You don't even need to have a list. Jesus, God, must be over all in your relationships, in your finances, in your work, in your leisure time, no, even in your relaxation. Jesus must be Lord of all. Not just your money. He must be above all. And when He finds that out, that He has no rival, He has no competition, and your allegiance is to Him and Him alone, then and only then you will enjoy that meaningful relationship with Him. And heaven will be such a beautiful place. Heaven is nothing without the Lord. Eternity is nonsense without Jesus. So don't just ask, how can I have eternal life? How can I be saved? The key here is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, are you willing to accept Him as your Lord and Savior? Are you willing to make Him the Lord of your life? Everything in your life. If you do, you can pray with me and ask Him to come into your life and surrender everything. No, hindi lang ito prayer na, Lord, I want to receive You into my heart. No, this is a decision. This is a resolution. This is a transferring of trust from yourself to God. No longer trusting your goodness, but trusting the goodness of God and His grace upon your life. Surrender fully to Him. Now, you pray with me if you want to have this meaningful relationship with God. Sabi mo, Panginoong Jesus, maraming salamat sa pag-ibig mo sa akin. Binigay mo ang lahat, ang iyong buhay sa krus ng Kalbaryo para ako'y tubusin. Patawarin mo ako sa aking kasalanan at tinatanggap kita sa aking puso. Hindi lang tagapagligtas, kundi Panginoong tunay ng aking buhay. Isinusuko ko sa iyo ang lahat-lahat sa aking buhay. At ikaw na ang mamayani, maghari. Ikaw ang maging tunay na Panginoon ng aking buhay. Salamat po sa isang makahulugang ugnayan at isang buhay na tunay na pinagpala at buhay na walang hanggan dahil kay Jesus. Maraming salamat. Sa pangalan ni Jesus, Amen. Kung ipinanalangin mo yan, kapatid, ay hindi lang makakarating ka sa langit, kundi magkakaroon ka ng isang makabuluhan na relasyon sa Diyos na Siya ang maghahari, hindi na ang iyong sarili, hindi na ang iyong salapi, hindi na ang iyong kayamanan, kundi Siya, at Siya lang ang masusunod sa iyong buhay. Sa ating pagwawakas, nais ko lang ibigay itong ating reflection questions, no? Can you answer this as honestly as you can? What do you consider to be your treasure? Anong talagang tinuturing mong tanging yaman? Pangalawang tanong, where are you storing up treasures? Saan ka nag-iimpok? At saan ka nag-iinvest ng iyong kayamanan? At pangatlong tanong, how are you spending earthly treasures? Paano mo ginugugol o ginagasta o ginagamit ang mga material na pinagkatiwala ng Panginoon sa iyo? Sana'y masagot mo yan ng tao sa iyong puso at mag-redirect ng iyong puso, mag-realign ng iyong puso. I don't want you to be just a committed Christian. I want you to become a consecrated Christian, fully surrendered to the Lord. That's what God wants. Let's close in prayer. Panginoon, salamat po sa araw na ito na binigay mo sa amin. Truly, your words are powerful. Your words are enlightening us and reorienting our perspective. Lord, open our eyes so that we can see the things with true value. Huwag po naming panghinayangan ang mga bagay dito sa mundo at handa naming ipasakop at isuko sa iyo. Huwag mo nawa kaming masumpungan, Panginoon, na nakapanguyapit sa kayamanan at ayaw namin itong bitawan. At kami mahulog sa mga patibong at kutakot-takot na hirap ng kalooban. Palayain mo kami, Panginoon. Bigyan mo kami ng tiwala, restedness sa mga inilalaan mo sa amin. Kami maging mapagpasalamat at aming gamitin ito ang pangasiwaan ng mabuti para sa iyong kaluwalhatian. Pagpalaya mo po ang aking mga kapatid, O Diyos, puspusin mo silang lahat ng iba ng Espiritu at nawa, O Diyos, ang aming puso ay maging talagang lantay at dalisay na para sa iyo lamang. Iisang pag-ibig sa iisang puso. Sa pangalan ni Jesus, Amen. Salamat po sa Panginoon at pagpalain tayong lahat.